And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr. I'm coming to you from San Diego, California. Hey, I hope you had a very Merry Christmas, and we're wishing you a Happy New Year. I'm out here in California with my wife's family, enjoying a great time, a fellowship, and getting to know a lot of folks out here, and my brother and sister-in-law, and their family, my wife's parents, and had a great holiday. Hope you did too. This is Prophecy Q&A. It's a program where people send in questions and we try to get them the answers, and we're going to do that. Just wanted to make you aware of a couple things in our website. This spring, we've got a great trip that's coming up to Israel. Love to have you go with us, April 23rd through May 4th. Great time to go to the Holy Lamb. We encourage you to join with us. Come along, go with us. We're hosting a few webinars where people will be able to tune in and watch me talk about Israel, answer questions that people might have, the safety factor involved, and everything that's involved with the touring there, how to get there. So that trip, April 23rd through May 2nd, to Israel, and then we have Israel and Petra goes to the next portion of that trip and goes all the way to the 6th. So you spend a couple extra days. We go down to Eilat and to the Red Sea, and we'll cross over to Petra, see that. Then there's also an extension, Turkey and Rome, for those that might want to keep going. So that's that goes all the way to May 12th. So if you go to Israel, Israel only, April 23rd and May 2nd, then you could use do the Petra extension, which goes until the 6th. And then if you want to do Turkey and Rome, that also goes to May 12th. Or you could just meet them in Turkey if you've been on our trips to Israel and you'd like to join the Turkey and Rome portion. You could do that also. Why don't you go to our website, Joshua Travel, take a look at that, and all the information will be there for taking our trip to Israel with us. We do have our School of Prophets conference coming up February 24th through the 28th in Shreveport, Louisiana. Dad will be teaching the book of Revelation. I'll be teaching Intro to the Study of Bible Prophecy along with Dad. Dave James, our Dean of Students and our Dean of our school, our online learning program, will be teaching God's Plan Through the Ages. And then I'll be teaching just entirely by myself. I'll teach the book of Daniel. So Dad's teaching the book of Revelation. He and I will both team teach Intro to the Study of Bible Prophecy. Dave James, God's Plan Through the Ages. And then I'll teach the book of Daniel. All these programs are college credits. You can, for your postgraduate work and working on your seminary, your master's program, or your doctorate program through us, however you want to do that. We'll have a lot of students with us from Louisiana Baptist University. And we work there with Dr. Neil Weaver. Great program to be involved with, a great school. And looking forward to that. Go online, take a look at all the details concerning that. You know, the interesting thing about our website, a lot of people don't ever really fully take advantage of our website. You know, we have all the top 10 news stories each day, which keep us all aware, you and I, aware of where we are on God's timetable. And again, that's why we teach Bible prophecy, so that people are aware of what's taking place in the world and understanding where we are on God's timetable. The next event that takes place is the rapture of the church. And that's what we feel. And it's an imminent event, could happen at any moment. Because we know that it could happen at any moment, it helps us to live pure and productive, holy lives, being ready for that rapture to take place, for God to tell his son to go to the edge of the heavenlies and bring home his children, the bride of Christ, and Christ steps to the edge of the heavenlies. That description is given to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. That's the description of the rapture that will take place, where we'll be caught up into the heavenlies. And again, you know, each week you listen to us, we are living, certainly we are living and the days where we're going to see it. Last night I was at a Christmas party, and this is the interesting thing about Bible prophecy. Everybody wants to know about the future. Where are we? What are we doing? What's going to happen? Where are we on God's timetable? And so sitting around a campfire here in San Diego last night, teaching, talking about laying out for people our trio of triplets, which is so easy. And that's really the neat thing about it, because once people have that laid out, then they can start for even just that little bit, the trio of triplets, the three strands of the human family, Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. And that God has a program, a plan for each one of those three strands of the human family. The promises and conditions and consequences. If they don't accept God's promise, there will be consequences for each one of them. And, you know, we've talked through that before. There's the three main prophetic books of the Bible, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation, which pertain to those three strands of the human family, lays out the game plan for each one of them. And then the three remaining events on God's timetable, the rapture of the church, the return of Jesus Christ at the end of the seven-year period of time, and then after the return of Jesus Christ, a 1,000-year period of time called the millennium, and then, of course, the last of the three main events, the Great White Throne Judgment, where all people that have rejected Jesus Christ are sentenced eternally to the lake of fire. And once you start laying that out, then you can, and people understand that, the basic principles to understanding Bible prophecy, then from there you go right into understanding and figuring out where parts of the tribulation period, everything that's mentioned from Revelation chapter 6 all the way to Revelation 19:11, and that parallels with Matthew 24, the events that are going to take place during this tribulation period, everything that's going to take place right up until the return of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, it really helps you to make things a lot more simple as far as studying Bible prophecy and understanding the times in which we're living. But that's why we want you to do it. That's why we want you to be aware of what's taking place. Our PASS program is our very simple, our School of Prophets Institute. We are doing that not only for the senior citizens, which is our PASS program, Prophetic Army of Senior Saints, but we also have young people from homeschool, from students that are interested in taking this and want to find out more about Bible prophecy. They can add these. Of course, they could take this for college credit, and they can learn at the same time. So all that information is on our website. Make sure that you take a look at it. Our Prophecy Today TV, PTTV, our video for this week, the Bethlehem story of Christmas, but it's a story of much more behind the scenes, and so that's a great, make sure you take a look at each one of those aspects to our website so that these are all sources and planning sources for you and resources for studying and understanding Bible prophecy, and we hope that that helps you. Well, this is a prophecy Q&A program that you have sent in the questions, and we're going to get to these answers right now. Matilda Reed sends in a question. Do you have a list of conferences Dr. DeYoung will be having this coming year? I can't go on an Israel trip. I've learned so much about prophecy since I was first introduced to him on the John Ankerberg Show, and then, of course, on the Bible Broadcasting Network, two other ministries that we partner with, the BBN Radio Network. Of course, we teach every Saturday night on the Bible Broadcasting Network, and quite often throughout the year we're on the John Ankerberg Show. I would love to attend a conference, and Matilda, you can go to our website to Dad's schedule. His schedule is put up there, and you can look through that month by month, week by week, see where he's going to be and see if he will happen to be in your area. And that schedule is pretty much as soon as they book a meeting, those meetings are put up on there. So I think you, for the next 2 years, you can find out where he's going to be or where I will be. I'd love to have you come and be a part of a conference with us someplace. So Matilda's question is, I listened to your Q&A about Osama bin Laden, and I heard Dr. DeYoung say he was in hell. I thought I heard him on Dr. or Dr. J. Vernon McGee say that hell was not in existence now. Well, you're absolutely right. It's a holding place, and we get a reference to that in Luke chapter 16, Matilda. You remember that story between the rich man and Lazarus, and the story is that the rich man passed away. In fact, there was a certain, I'll read that to you, Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. This is the story as it's unfolding. Verse 22, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in flame. And this is where we, when we say that people are in hell right now, all of those that have died, Matilda, and haven't accepted the gift that Jesus Christ gave to them by coming to this earth, dying on the cross for our sins, and believing in the death, burial, and resurrection, that salvation message, all the people that have rejected that right now, if they pass away, they will be in a holding place of Hades. It's not the lake of fire as talked about in the book of Revelation. This is a place called Hades. It's a place of torment. We get the conditions of this place of torment, thirst. The people there will be remembering. That's what Abraham said. In fact, he said, the rich man cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So we see a condition of people will be experiencing at this location, torment. They will be thirst. Very interesting. He says he doesn't ask for a cup or even a little thimble. He said just have Lazarus dip the tip of his finger and touch it to his tongue. And Father Abraham says, but son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And again, another condition of hell at this point in time, and torment, remembering, thirst, just a place of a holding place until the great white throne judgment. Once that takes place, the great white throne. Now remember, I just laid out for you everything that will take place at the end of the, when the rapture takes place, then a 7-year period of time, that tribulation period, and then the return of Jesus Christ, and then a 1,000-year period, which is the millennial period, where Jesus Christ will rule and reign in the city of Jerusalem, from the temple that will be rebuilt, that temple that's described in the book of Ezekiel. But then at the end of that 1,000-year period of time, there will be the great white throne judgment, and we get an indication of that in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up their dead. And now Hades is the place where the rich man from Luke chapter 16, or anybody that has died that doesn't have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and I would say that's where Osama bin Laden would be right now in Hades. And there, Revelation chapter 20, verses 12, says that and dead were judged according to their works. And verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and everyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So Matilda, you're right. hell as the lake of fire is not in operation yet. That doesn't happen until after the great white throne judgment, where people are sentenced to eternity into the lake of fire. But right now they're in a holding place called Hades, which is a part of hell, but it's not the final resting place in the lake of fire. There's actually three parts to hell. There's Hades, the bottomless pit that's talked about in the book of Revelation, where Satan and his demons will be placed in the bottomless pit. And then there's the lake of fire. So thank you, Matilda, for that question. Hopefully that helps you. And thanks for listening to us. And go to our website. Take a look at the aspect of being able to join us in conference. I know that you had another part to your question that said, also, why do the Jehovah's Witnesses think that they are the 144,000 in the book of Revelation? That I don't know. I haven't studied that, and I think you could go online and find that out. We do know that those 144,000 that are talked about in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, those 144,000 are 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel, and that they will become male evangelists. That will travel the earth and give the gospel message to people in the tribulation period. Only those people that can accept Christ in the tribulation period will be those people that have never heard and rejected the gospel message before the rapture of the church. It's a key ingredient that they haven't heard the gospel message. If they haven't heard the gospel message in the tribulation period, these 144,000 male virgin Jews talked about in Revelation chapter 7, they will be going, traveling to and fro on the earth, giving the gospel message. That's when all of the earth hears the gospel message, as talked about and described in Matthew 24 during the tribulation period. And should people still be alive, remember, when you look at the 21 judgments that are unleashed from Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 19, half of the world's population is going to be wiped out during this period of time. So even though that these men will be traveling and giving the gospel message, and I believe many people will be saved during the tribulation period, many will come to know the Lord. And when you think about it, when is a final act that someone cannot accept Christ? Well, death is that final act. If they die and they haven't accepted Christ, they will not have another chance. Also, the same thing with the rapture. People that have heard the gospel message and rejected it before the rapture, they won't have another chance to accept Christ after the rapture of the church. They will be caused to believe a lie, as it says in 2 Thessalonians. So that's a very important part. But I'm not sure, Matilda, why the 144,000 claim that they are a part of that belongs to the Jehovah's Witness. You could look that up on the internet and find that out. Jane Faith Greenwood sends in a question. She says, I discovered your show today. It was so informative and truly a blessing to me. I look forward to spending more time at your site when I can. I have info that will help more people find out more about your ministry worldwide. Thank you, Jane, so much for being a part of listening to our program, and thank you for sending in that info, and we would love to use it in the future. Good message and a great encouragement from Jane. Dan Smith sends in a statement. He says, I must preface my comments by stating that I am one of those wacko conservative dispensational Christian Dutchmen from southwestern Michigan originally. That said, I notice that you often talk about the actions of our president as they relate to the Middle East. All of the parts fit together. If you assume that he is still a Muslim based on the teachings of the Quran, a converted Muslim either returns to Islam or is to be killed. He is consistently he favors the Muslim position, and I know that this is not new to you, and not much would be gained by stating it publicly. We greatly enjoy your ministry and listen to it on WHWL-FM in Marquette, Michigan. Thanks for what you said and your team and what your team does. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you for sending that in. I think the one thing that we have to always keep in mind, and the Bible encourages us to pray for those that are in office. Book of Romans encourages us to pray for those that govern over us. And that's what we need to be doing consistently. Lift up our president, our Senate, our Congress, our House of Representatives. Let's lift them all up, all those people that govern over us. And remember to keep them in prayer. And yes, keep President Obama in prayer. And I know it's well documented, his position to the Muslim world and what he has done. But for right now, we'll remember to keep him in prayer and his family at this time of the year. And why not do that? We want to see him come to know the Lord. That's the key thing about all that we do. We want to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior so that they might be eternally with the Father in the heaven and to live with him. And that's for people to understand that Jesus Christ came to die for their sins. So let's keep that. But thank you, Dan, for those encouraging words. And yes, let's pray for our president and in this difficult time in which he is running our country in these last days. Listen, our citizenship is not here on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. There's nothing that says that the United States will continue to be around 20 years from now, should the Lord tarry. I don't think that it will be. I think as our country is going right now, and there have been bigger empires that have fallen, bigger empires than ours that have fallen, and that are no longer, and that's just history past. So keep that in mind as we go forward, and as we live our everyday life, we want to protect the freedoms that we have, but we might not have those. There are a lot of people that haven't had those freedoms. I have speak quite often in Romania. I heard the story of Reverend Richard Warmbrand, tortured for Christ. There are a lot of Christians that have been persecuted. We live in a great country right now, in the United States of America. We have freedoms, but one day those freedoms might be taken away. I actually think it might be good for the church, for the body of Christ. People will be made to make a decision as to what they believe and why they believe it. And so this might be very good for the body of Christ to go through this period of time. I think it always makes us stronger. I know it does. It makes me stronger when I suffer persecution, when I know that I'm on the front lines, that I am doing something, and every aspect of my life matters. You know, that daily time with the Lord that you spend every day in a devotion matters because you need that. You know that Satan's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and the most important purpose that he has right now is he tried to destroy God. He's tried to destroy the angels, and now what he wants to do is destroy man, and that's the whole reason for his existence, this jealousy that he has. And if he can stop us, if he can defeat us, then he's accomplished his goal. Message comes in from Rick Fletcher. Dear Dr. DeYoung, I appreciate your website and visit nearly daily. Today you discussed the third temple, stating that it will not be built until after the rapture. I'm wondering what you would do in the event that construction was started and we were still here. Would that be a minor adjustment or a major eschatological overhaul regarding the pre-trib theory? Now, let me just tell you this, Rick. They have already started building this temple now. Howbeit, it's in a smaller, it's in the early stages. The rabbis are going through the process of teaching men to do the priestly duties. We have well documented everything that is being done right now for the rebuilding of this third temple, the Temple Mount Faithful, the Temple Institute in the city of Jerusalem. They have recreated all the utensils that will be involved, the harps. They're making the harps that will be involved in this temple. There are men. They have a database of every man that's qualified as best that they know to be a part of and doing the priestly duties. They have even made the garments for the high priest already. They're already. So this part, they're making. What this does for us, Rick, this helps us to understand that that there's going to be a temple that will be there. We understand from Daniel chapter 9 that temple will stand there and that the Antichrist will walk into that temple midway through the tribulation period. So I think that there are various stages. I do think that if the temple is started, the actual construction for the temple itself. Now, again, there's so many things. The altar, we've seen men doing the sacrificial duties. All of this is a part of that process of rebuilding that temple, getting prepared to build that temple. We believe that temple needs to be standing in Jerusalem. It has not been there since 70 AD when it was destroyed by the 10th Legion of the Roman Army with General Titus. It was destroyed in the city of Jerusalem, and there hasn't been a temple now since 70 AD. And the Jews would love to rebuild this, and that will be the temple. It's not Ezekiel's temple that's talked about in Ezekiel 40 to 48. This is the temple that the Antichrist will go in and desecrate at the midway point of the tribulation period. So this process can start. It has already started. Look, Israel became a nation again in 1948. This is a partial fulfillment of the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, as talked about in Ezekiel 37. The temple has already started to be rebuilt as far as the men going through the process of studying the priestly duties, making all the things. And I know that we have seen large fields in Israel cut with stone, the limestone that would be used for the stone on the temple. All of these things are all things that are happening behind the scenes. But when does it really become a major player? Well, that temple has to be built where the Dome of the Rock is. That Dome of the Rock is in the third most holiest site in all of Islam, behind Mecca and Medina, Al-Aqsa. The Waqf, the Islamic Waqf, control the Temple Mount, and Islam cannot coexist with another religion and would not allow the Jews to put up their temple up onto where the Dome of the Rock is today, to what we call the Temple Mount. And that's part of what the Antichrist will do when he comes on the scene in Daniel chapter 9. He will confirm a peace agreement, and then he will allow the Jews to put up their temple there. And so that is going to have to be a major, the Antichrist is going to have to come on the scene. And then the Jews would, there would have to be something that would happen to the Temple Mount area, the Dome of the Rock, and so that all of Islam would allow for this to take place, for that temple to go up there. So there are many things that would have to happen, and we would have to really revamp a lot of as far as the Antichrist coming on the scene. And we understand at the midway point from Daniel chapter 9, the book of Revelation, that the Antichrist goes in and causes the sacrifices to stop and sets up the abomination of desolation. But as Christians, we believe that the rapture is an imminent event, that there's nothing left to happen before that rapture takes place. No other prophecies. We could see partial fulfillments, and we know that there will be a temple there, so partially we see this fulfillment of these men doing these priestly duties. But in order for everything to start to take place, and all of the man on a white horse talked about in Revelation chapter 6, that first seal would have to be opened up. The tribulation period will have already started when the Antichrist confirms that peace agreement with Israel, as talked about in Daniel chapter 9. And then we know 3.5 years from when the moment that the tribulation starts, that the Antichrist will walk in to the temple to desecrate it. So therefore, I believe, because the rapture is an imminent event, that no one knows, and that's why It keeps us living pure and productive, ready, looking forward to this sound, this trumpet that will sound, the voice of an archangel, that trumpet will be caught up into the heavenlies. That happens at any moment. That has to. And I hope I'm making sense to you, Rick, because if you start to see this, there are specific days that are laid out, and then we can live whatever way we want to. Once we see the Antichrist come on the scene, confirm a peace agreement with Israel, and allow the Jews to put up a temple there that will be there for 3.5 years in some state, whether it's just started to be built or it is already, all the supplies, all the materials and everything that is, all the utensils, all the garments, all the harps, all of those things are behind backstage, so to speak, if you will. And all that they need to do is for the props to be brought out on stage and the curtain go up. I think what we're at right now, we're seeing all of these props being put up on the stage, being placed in an order in which they will come out. And the curtain that goes up will be the rapture of the church. Once that curtain goes up, then the last timeline of God's event starts to unfold. And so, but that begins with the rapture of the church. All of these things are, again, all in the background. We're speculating, Rick. If the temple is put up, and again, we do know that temple could be there, but once the peace agreement is signed with the Antichrist, that's when the tribulation period begins. And the tribulation doesn't begin until after the rapture of the church. That's a long way around it, Rick, but thanks for your question. Hopefully that helps you. Thank you for your ministry, he says to us, and Merry Christmas. And Rick, same to you and your family. Well, thank you for joining us today. Again, this is Jimmy DeYoung Jr. coming to you from San Diego, California. During this holiday period and time, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I know that this is the end of the year giving is starting to take place with most people. They want to wrap up. If you're thinking about giving, please consider. At least pray for our ministry and what we do, what all of us do, and our outreach. Not only as we are traveling to different churches, but the Lord has given us, placed a burden in our heart to go to Montenegro, to Romania, to Hungary, to other parts of the earth, and to teach Bible prophecy. And that's a great way if you're looking to give to a mission organization or a one-time gift, or even we have people that support us throughout the year. We're so thankful for each and every single one of those people that support our ministry. Would you consider doing that? Partner with us this year of 2014. You can do that with a one-time gift, or you can give to our ministry. Look at our information about our trips to Israel, about everything that we have going in our conferences. You can go to and look at our schedules and what God has in store for each one of us in our ministry in this upcoming year. But thank you. Hopefully you'll have a great new year. And we'll talk to you next Thursday. Prophecy Q&A, this is Jimmy DeYoung. And hey, by the way, tune in to this weekend's radio program with Dad as we find out what's happening around the world. But I'm just going to tell you this. After seeing everything that's taking place and where we are on God's timetable, understanding, reading God's Word, seeing the events in our world today, we cannot be that far off before the rapture of the church takes place. Seeing all of these things, knowing these things, reading God's Word, we must keep looking up until...